5, I want to start reading in verse 21. The Bible said, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That's as far as I want to read this evening out of the Word of God. And if the Lord helped me, maybe in a few minutes, I might preach a little bit on chapter 6 and chapter 7, if the Lord would lead my heart that way. But in studying in this scripture, we read here, in the first verse I read, in that 21st verse, that Enoch lived 65 years before that he was blessed with a child, and the Bible said he named him Methuselah. Now, don't you listen to what happens in verse 22. After Enoch had Methuselah, something changed in Enoch's life. For 65 years, he's going along and got Methuselah. And then after he got Methuselah, for 300 years, and he got sons and daughters. Listen to what it said in that 22nd verse. After Methuselah come, Enoch walked with God. After he got Methuselah. I don't know what he did for 65 years, but after Methuselah come along, a switch flipped over in Enoch's heart, and he started walking with God. I'll tell you something, this evening I've seen it happen a lot of times over the years. When a husband and a wife, they might come to church some and maybe not be real faithful. But when a child comes along, there's a switch that flips in a Christian's heart that says, I need to walk with God. I need to raise my children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And something switched in Enoch's life, and he walked with God after he begot Methuselah. I don't know about the first 65, but them last 300 years, he is a walking with God. And of course, you know, the Bible said that he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And that's not a bad thing. If you read over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible said that before Enoch was translated, he had this testimony that he had pleased God. So the Lord, I heard this preached one time, and it's always kind of stuck with my heart, that Enoch and the Lord was a walking one day, and the Lord's looked down at Enoch and said, hey, we're closer to my house than yours. Let's just go to my house. And God took Enoch and just took him on home. Hey, one of these days, the Lord's going to come by where I'm at, and the Lord's just going to tell me that we're closer to my house than yours, and I'm just going to ease out of this walks of life. Praise the Lord. Oh, listen now. I'm not looking forward to dying. I'm kind of excited about what's coming after death. Amen. I guess that song Brother Freeman sang and Sister D sang, and I sang tonight, that lately I've had leaving on my mind, you know, and Sister Dawn testified about it. Her daddy used to talk about it. Every once in a while, I just find myself with a far off look in my eyes, and I'm not thinking too much about these things, but I'm thinking about things to come. Amen. Amen. I don't know when I'm going to leave. I told Natalie, not before last, maybe it was, I guess it was not before last I got home. I was tired, you know. I preached, and I walked in the door and got upstairs. I was taking my suit off, and I told her, Brother William, I said, one night I'm going to come home for revival. I'm just going to fall down on the bed, and that'll be it for me. This old body just can't take that. Of course, she got mad at me, you know, told me not to talk that way. Hey, I want to tell you something. I going to heaven don't bother me. It really don't. But anyway, Enoch walked with the Lord after after that, Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. So I'm trying to get down this game in just a minute, but the Bible said that Enoch was there for 365 years, you know, and then God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and then he begot Lamech. And then the Bible says, you know, you go on down in the genealogy that I read unto us, and it talks about how long that Methuselah lived. The total number of his years were 969 years, and then he died. Now Lamech lived, you know, 182 years, and he got a son, and he called him Noah. And the Bible said that Noah lived after that, or that Lamech lived after he had Noah some 595 years, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And then Noah's 595 years old when he starts having children. Now something happens about this time. Men just kept getting more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. And the wickedness of the world was everywhere. And the Bible said that the imagination of men's hearts was on evil continually. And it repented God that it even made man. But something miraculous happened here in the 6th chapter about verse 8, I believe it is, where the Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God come by and spoke to him. And he said, I tell you what, the wickedness of this generation has rose up in my face, and I'm fixing to wipe it all out. But you found grace in my sight, and I want you to build an ark out of gopher wood to the saving of your family. Now, in my mind, in years gone by, and I'm going to tell you something, I found out while I was studying this, and maybe some of you men that have been in the ways already found this, but I'm just slow about things. And if you read about Methuselah and you read about Lamech, Lamech lived 777 years. He died about 5 years before the flood came. That's how old he was when the flood came. He was 777 years old. So he lived this time all the way up to then, and then he died. But old Methuselah, he lived 969 years. Now, if you go back and do the math, Brother William, I know you know this, but Methuselah lived up until the year that the flood came. The whole time that Noah's building the ark, his granddaddy Methuselah's still alive. And he's out here walking around. I just kind of thought about this. I don't reckon I've ever heard it preached. But I preached it last summer just a little bit. I just wonder if old Methuselah wasn't coming by every once in a while and saying, Noah, keep building on that ark. Save my great-grandbabies. Keep building on that ark. Old Lamech might have been coming by saying, son, you're doing a good work. Keep building on the ark. Do what God told you to do. And now Methuselah's name, it means this: when he is dead, it shall be said. So listen, Methuselah lived up until the time that Noah went upon the ark. I've often thought about this, that the day, maybe sometime the preceding week, and maybe the day before the flood, they got news that Methuselah had died, and Noah went down at his funeral and buried his granddaddy and put him in the ground. And then there was a cry from the Lord that said, go get inside the ark that you built this thing. And so Noah comes and gets inside the ark. Now I said that to say this: Lamech didn't see his grandchildren saved on that ark. Methuselah didn't see his great-grandchildren saved on that ark. Only Noah and his family were the only, there's only 8 souls saved, if I remember right. I think it's in the book of Peter. We find out that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Is that not right? Noah's out there preaching and a building on that ark. I don't know how long it took him to build it. I want to tell you something. He's out there building on that ark and a building on that ark every day. And there's probably times that maybe Noah's children, maybe old Ham said, Daddy, I'm tired of building on this ark. I want to do something else. And you know how granddaddies are and how pawpaws are. And I'm just seeing, brother, listen, I want to say something to you grandparents tonight and you great-grandparents. I know it's hard to watch when your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren have to get punished. Don't tell you something this evening. It is necessary. I remember when one time, my wife's daddy told me, Lee Allison was a little girl at the time, I mean real little. He said, son, he said, you'll always love her. He said, but your goal in life is to raise her so everybody else will too. And I always thought about that. And one night we was coming home and he'd been in the car with us, and I don't remember what she had done. I told her about three times to stop, or that she couldn't do it. And that third time, I turned around and looked at her, and she's probably about 2 or 3 years old. I said, that's it. When we get home, you're getting a spanking. And of course, the rest of the way home, you know how children are. She's like an angel all the way home. But it didn't change my mind. I done told her I was going to give her a whipping, and that's what I was going to do. And we got there to the house, and I was aggravated. And I turned around to get her, and my daddy-in-law grabbed my arm. He said, son, I appreciate what you're doing, and I know you're doing it right. He said, just let me get out of the driveway before you get started. I just don't think I can take it. Now listen to me tonight. I know how grandmas and grandpas are, and anytime them grandchildren cry, your heart just bleeds for them, and you want to say, don't do that. Oh, you listen this evening. If a mom and daddy's raising their children right, trying to get them saved, they got to teach them how to act over the house of God. They got to tell the difference between right and wrong. You go by and encourage them and say, you're doing a good job. Amen. Amen. My girls were in church all the time growing up. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We went to church and revivals morning and night from the time Hannah Kate was just few months old. I started preaching revivals, and I preached all their lives, and that's the only life they've ever known. People used to tell me all the time that I ought not do my kids that way. I ought to do them this way and that way or the other. But I'm going to tell you something this evening. I was trying to raise my kids up, and not so they could be popular, not so they could be happy in this world, and that one day they could be saved and then get on the board of the ark that God's built, and that they might get born again. Oh, listen this evening. Nobody saying being a parent was going to be easy. I'm going to tell you something tonight. When you see them children come bowing the altar, or you get that voice from their ear, hear that voice speaking to your ear, saying, I just got saved. You know tonight it's well worth every effort you put into it. It's well worth it this evening. Amen. It's well worth it. So Noah and his family building the ark. I just pictured in my mind Lamech coming by and saying, build that ark, son, build that ark. And Methuselah coming by saying, Noah, keep building that ark. You're doing a good thing. Keep building that. I just wonder if Noah maybe thought, maybe we'll all get on there together. But that wasn't in God's plans. You know, we have plans on how we want to be saved. We have plans on how we want to see our children saved. But it don't always work the way we want it to. When my oldest daughter got saved, let me just tell this tonight. I don't know why it's on my heart. I just want to mind the Lord. My oldest daughter, when she was about 7 or 8 years old, I was pastoring down at Tate Scalp down there in close to Aniana, and we had a revival meeting, and I'm pretty sure Brother Wayne Alcorn was helping us. I couldn't be wrong about that, but I think that's who it was. The night, the first time she came down to the altar, and the first morning she came down and she cried and she squalled and she was begging God to save her, and she had done that for a long time, and it got to where people was gathering around her saying stuff in her ear. I put a stop to that pretty quick. And I said, y'all let her alone. She's a praying. Now after about 30 minutes, she got up and said, nothing's happened, you know. And she went on about her business. Time meeting was over. She was outside playing in the parking lot with the rest of the kids. I went to pastor up in Oak Grove, and we're up there for a while, you know. She come down the altar one Sunday and cried and prayed, begging God to save her. That happened about 3 times. One Sunday, I asked all the young people to come pray for her. That altar was full of teenagers, and young folks are praying and are begging God to save my daughter. In the meantime, I'm at work one day, and I get a call from Natalie. And it wasn't Lee Allison, my oldest girl. It was Hannah Kate. She was 10 years old, I think. She called me, and Natalie was on the phone and said, Hannah Kate wants to talk to you. And I said, all right. And she got on the phone. I'm at work. You know, it's the summertime. I didn't expect nothing to go on. And Hannah Kate's on the phone, and she's crying. And she said, Daddy. And I said, yeah, baby. And she said, the Lord just saved me right here by the couch, right here at home.
I just be by myself a praying. And I said, oh, praise the Lord. I called the front office. I said, I'm going home, and I don't know if I'll be back or not. We went home and cried and rejoiced about the Lord saving Hannah. A little while later, Brother William, I went in there, and Lee Allison was sitting on her bed, and she was crying. I put my arm around her. I said, sweetheart, everything okay? And she said, yeah. She said, yeah, Daddy. She said, I'm happy for Hannah Kay. She said, but I'm sad for me, because I really want to be saved too. And I said, don't you worry about it. The Lord's working this thing. I got to doubting the Lord and said, Lord, what can I do different? Maybe I'm hindering her. And I tried to pray. All I know to do, Brother William, was just keep preaching to her. Keep praying to her, praying for her, pray with her, answer a question. And we're going along, and I guess it was on a Wednesday night. We'd buried my granddaddy the preceding weekend, and we had somebody else that died in the church, and we almost called off service on Wednesday night. We decided to go ahead and have it. That's just, you know, we'd go ahead and have it. Several folks were at the funeral home. They weren't there. I got up and preached about 10 or 15 minutes. I almost didn't give an invitation. And I felt a little something in my heart say, just sing one verse. We sang one verse on invitation. Lee Allison stepped out of the aisle. And there's something different about the way she looked that night. And she got down there in the altar and prayed. And she asked God to save her down there in that altar. Then by the time she's done it 30, 40 minutes, that time it's just two or three. And she looked up and she said, Daddy, the Lord saved me. And I'm just a human. I said, Daddy, right then, I wasn't a preacher no more. And I said, baby, you sure? Because we tried so long. And she said, Daddy, I know that the Lord saved me tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. This evening, I'm just a building on the ark, you know. I'm doing what God told me to do for the saving of my family. And oh, listen, the Lord blessed us with Hayden and Cadence. And about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I was down in Birmingham Hospital. Oh, listen, I visited somebody from the church, and I got a phone call, and it was Nellie on the phone, and she was crying, and she said, Hayden, something to tell you. I thought maybe he's in trouble or done something wrong. And he got on the phone and he said, Daddy, the Lord saved me tonight. I think he saved me by my bed. Oh, listen, this evening, I have everything in my mind. I figured out how it'll have to be. But so far, three of my kids have been saved. I've only been there for one of them. But you know what? I'm not the important factor. But Jesus is. And as long as he's there, that's all that matters. Hey, amen. Lamech didn't get to see him get on that ark, neither did Methuselah. But they both died. And one day, the Bible said, God spoke to Noah and said, go get in that ark that you've built. I used to have it in my mind that Noah went to get in cages and grabbing ropes and pulling elephants on there and all that kind of stuff. But the Bible said Noah went up in the ark and them animals came on two by two. You imagine Noah standing there watching them? Here they come. Y'all go over there, over here. They're just off. Popping to their spot and climbing to their place, going right where are they supposed to be without anybody helping them. Oh, listen, this evening, sometimes in salvation, we do more to hinder somebody than we can to help them. If you'll just let God give the invitation, let them come in, God will do the saving. Oh, praise the Lord. It don't take a certain prayer. It don't take a certain leadership. You let the Holy Ghost move in a sinner's heart, and he'd save them this evening. And they'll go right into their place and just be right with us. And an amazing thing happened. When everybody got on board, the Lord shut the door. Ain't that right? The book of Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says that when they got on the board, that nobody knew what was going on. While knowing his family entered the ark, and they crawled inside, and all of a sudden it started raining. And they're down there marrying and giving in marriage and drinking and eating, having a big time. I'm gonna tell you something tonight. I need no telling what's going on a Friday night in Idaho, Alabama. What kind of party's going on? And folks are gathered together everywhere. I tell you something tonight. I don't know about the rest of them. I just want to keep building on the ark. Doing that God tells us to do. And one of these days, Brother William, the Lord's going to call my name. Or he may call us all out of here together. And once we get out of here, and the Lord gets us home, it's all over with. Amen. Now, everything figured out, but I don't have it all figured out. But the Bible said when the Lord shut the door, it started to rain. I just think when the Lord gets us out of here, it's going to start to rain. Except this time it won't be fire. Next time it's going to be hell and brimstone is what the Bible says. But nonetheless, Noah gets on this ark. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. God opened up the floodgates. And it just flooded this whole earth above the highest Mount Everest. It's up above Mount Everest. The water got up above that. Somebody said, that ain't possible. You just don't know God. But he gets all the way up above everything. And it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it stopped raining. And then the Bible said they were on that boat for 150 days. Floating around. And then something amazing happens. The Bible said, God, ain't that right? God, sometimes in this God-forsaken world, how we feel like the Lord's forgot about us. How about then we get the meeting that we had this morning, and he comes by and just meets with us, and the saints testify, and these old preacher brethren with gray in their hair, I get up and proclaim the gospel and tell the old story one more time. And the Lord meets with his people, and God comes by and say, I remember you. I have not forgot about you. And the Bible said that the water began to come down, and God pulled the plug on the bathtub, so to speak, and the water started coming down for 150 days. And if I done my math right, that's on board that ark for a year and 10 days. I stuck on that ark. But one day, God said, come out. And they walked out on dry ground. Oh, listen, this evening, sometimes it feels like we're out here just floating around. But God knows right where we are. And one of these days, we're going to step foot on Canaan's land, over in the glory land. And we'll be there forevermore this evening. Amen. I don't know where you're at tonight. If I had more strength, I'd preach another hour, I guess. I'll say something to us mamas and daddies. We can't always listen to what Dr. Spock says. We can't always listen to what the school teacher says. We can't always listen to what our friends and acquaintances say. But if you'll look in this Bible, there's a way to raise our children that's right. It's not always easy. I remember this very plainly. Lee Allison was about 12 years old, and we're riding, and she was a daddy's girl. We're riding down the truck, and she says, Daddy, I just love you. I'll always be your girl. I said, sweetheart, in about 2 years, you ain't gonna like me. So she said, oh, Daddy, I'll always love you. I was right. When I got to saying no, I got to saying take that off, throw that in the garbage, you know, some of those kind of things. And one day, she was real mad at me. I said, you remember when you was 12 years old, I could take you to the spot on the four lane where she said. And I said, we was right there at the Walmart red light. And I said, I told her what we talked about. She said, yeah, Daddy, I remember. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I love you just as much now as I did back then. Me and her's just alike. We ain't hardly ever wrong. Stubborn. Me and my daddy's just alike. Me and my daddy butted heads till I was about 27. The older I get, the smarter he gets. The smarter he always was. I just didn't know. I guess she was about 18 years old. And I told her one day, I said, you give it about 7 more years. But I said, we're just alike. It's just going to take a little time. We got to get through this rough. We still butt heads. She don't even live at the house. But when she comes by, don't take long. We start butting. We're just alike. But I love her. And she's saved. And her husband's saved. That right? I don't have any grandchildren yet. I don't know if I ever will. But if I do, I hope they get on board the same ark they've got on. Amen. And all I know to do, Brother Williams, is just go to them and say, just do this. Just do what the Lord says. Just do what the Lord says. Just do what God told you to do, son. Keep building, keep building. Ham, get up there and help your daddy. Japheth, don't quit now. Shem, the Lord, the daddy knows what he's talking. Sometimes, Paw, you got to be careful. You'll start pulling him over the side and put him on your knee and say, don't undermine that. Amen. Try to reinforce what they're trying to do. Amen. We want to get them saved. That's the ultimate goal. See our children and our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if the Lord lets us live, we want to see them get saved. I just want them to have the same thing that I got. Let me say this, and then I'm going to close. I didn't mean to preach this long. I'm already went long. There was a church that kind of changed the way folks got saved. Made it real easy, you know. Kind of took out the... You know what the Bible says what Noah did when he built that ark in the book of Hebrews? How he moved? He moved with fear to build that ark for the saving of his family, saving of his soul. He moved with fear. When I got lost, I got very afraid. And I believe the Bible says, I can't quote this exactly right, but I think it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. You get afraid. Brother Jeff, when I got lost, I got afraid.
And I came and bowed an altar and cried and prayed, and the Lord saved.
Let me share this with you. When Lee Allison was going through a time, and you know, she was asking anybody to pray for, you know, the Lord saved when it was time. She went to a bigger church up in town, and I won't name the name of it, but she went up there to Bible school with some of her best buddies. And she got up there, and some of the Dallas kinfolk went up there, and they called us, and they said, "Hey, we think if you'd really talk to Lee Allison, she's ready to be saved." We started to talk to her tonight, but y'all need to talk to her. She didn't get saved. She's ready. And I told Nellis, she's not going back. She's not going back. I had some of my family come to me and say, "Just get your Bible and talk to her. She's making this more difficult than it is. Tell her how to be saved." And I said, "You leave her alone. You leave her alone. She didn't need to go down the Roman road. She needed to get Jesus in her heart." Now, I'm going to share this with you. You know, there's a reason I'm against it so bad. I've shared it two or three times this week. Brother Kenneth was preaching the night that I got saved. A few weeks before that, I was at a revival at a church I was raised up in. And the evangelist got through with a message. And he said, "Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes." And he went through what I found out later was the sinner's prayer. And he proclaimed, "Everybody that prayed that prayer," he said, "you just got saved." And I thought to myself, well, I guess I'm saved. I thought. That night over at Rock Springs, the Lord came by and troubled my heart. And I knew what that preacher said wasn't the truth. And the Holy Ghost moved on my heart, and I came down and bowed in the altar. Brother Kenneth didn't offer me no sinner's prayer. I got through praying. I turned around and he said, "Son, something happened." I said, "I thank the Lord saved." Amen. It's very important about how you get on board this boat. You got to get on it the Lord's way. Amen. You've got to get on it the Lord's way. There is no other way. Amen. I don't know if this message helped you tonight, but I sure did enjoy preaching. I want to encourage a lot of you here in gray hair tonight. Keep encouraging your children and your grandchildren. Every once in a while, when they get around the dinner table at your house, tell them about what the Lord did. Tell them about when the Lord saved you. Can I share this? And I'll be closing, Brother William. I don't usually tell this many stories. But 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a flu outbreak at Pleasant Hill. Inside of 1 week period, we had about 40 people got the flu, literally in a week. So we called off service on Wednesday night, then it got worse, and we called off on Sunday morning. Well, two of my family, Natalie and Hayden, both had the flu. So we stayed at home that morning, and I cooked a big breakfast for us, you know. We had a good time of fellowship, and I said, "Everybody get ready. We're going to meet in the living room and have a little church service." So we got in the living room, and it was just me and Natalie and Hannah Kate and Hayden and Cadence, and we sang a couple of songs together, and I opened up my Bible, and I read them some scripture, and we talked about the Bible. I don't guess I really just preached, but I taught them about the Bible for a little while. And then Natalie testified and told about the night that the Lord saved her. And then Hannah Kate testified and told it. She said, "Right there where God was sitting is where the Lord saved me." She got saved in the living room, right there at the house. And she told Hayden and Cadence about when the Lord saved her. And then we talked about where I'd pastored, how the Lord let them come to our lives. And oh, listen, I'm not for sure, but I told Natalie later, it looked like Hayden might have been a little bit in trouble that morning. And just a couple of weeks later, he's getting saved. Hey, you never can tell what telling your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the good works God's done in your heart, how it might affect you. Say the blessing when you eat. Thank God for saving. Thank Him for dying on the cross. These are your children and your grandchildren. Somebody said, "Mine are not in church." Call them again. Put them on the altar again. Pray for them. Tell them you love them. Urgent. You want to see them do. The day when they got on the boat, it was pitched within and without. There's a whole other message on that. And they were ready to go. The Lord shut that door. I don't know if it creaked and popped. I don't know what happened when it lifted up, but they were secure in that boat. Why did they build it out of gopher wood? Because God said, that's all I know. That's all I know. Why do we preach the way we preach? Because God said to. That's all I know. That's all I know. Amen. And it still works. Still works. I realize that people are not flocking to churches like Antioch. I understand. We got to keep building on the boat. We ought not change the material. We ought not change the gospel. Just keep doing and doing and doing. And every once in a while, somebody like Jack will come along and get inside the boat. Praise the Lord. And it's still working. It didn't take no prayer team to get him saved. No. There's two or three of us gathered around him. He's over in the corner by his daddy, and the Lord saved him right there. Didn't have to go to the back room, get talked into it. The Lord talked him into it right down there. I still think that'll work. I really do. Still, Brother Charles Tidwell goes down to Tate's Gap. I remember one time he told me he's lost, and the Lord showed him he's lost. And I can't remember now who was preaching. Might have been Brother John Hunt, but that might not be right. But either way, I think that's who it was. But he come running down there and he said, "I was going to take him and tell him what was wrong." He said, he just stepped aside and pointed. He said, I just went and got involved. He said, the Lord saved. He said, I got up and said, son, the Lord saved. And he said, yeah. He said, I asked him later, why didn't you talk to him? He said, I couldn't help you, son. The Lord could. And the Lord did. Amen. Salvation, old time salvation still works. Old time preaching still works. Old time singing still works. I just want to keep building on the ark. Keep building on the ark. Amen. That's all I got, Brother Denver. If you got a verse of invitation, y'all want to come sing.